This is the Truth Radio Network.
The Truth Radio Network.
Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.
Out of the simple barter of primitive people, spearheads became one of the first articles used as money. Shells have also served as money. Wampum was used by the American Indians. And hundreds of other articles have been money to various people at various times. But none of these met all the requirements of good money. Money should be something of value. Yet who but a huntsman has any use for spearheads? The value should be obvious and uniform. Who but an expert knows what this fur pelt is worth? Money should be easy to carry about. Metal rods certainly aren't. Money should be divisible. How do you make change when the price is half a cow? Money should be durable. Too much salt money got caught in the rain. Out of such trying experiences, gold and silver emerged as the most durable, most convenient, most satisfactory money. For greater convenience, men started stamping out gold and silver coins with values imprinted on them. Later, governments took over the exclusive function of coining money. Because unscrupulous men began to cover cheap metal discs with gold and silver plating. So, today in the United States, any money is counterfeit and so worthless unless issued by the federal government. And anyone who knowingly tries to spend counterfeit money may be fined a large amount and sent to jail. The coins we use are made in one of the three mints of the United States Treasury, located in San Francisco, Denver, and Philadelphia. And from the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington comes our paper money. This represents the final stage in the evolution of modern money. For while metal coins are handy for dealing in small amounts of money, when transactions require larger amounts, paper money is far more practical. A $5 bill, for example, is much easier to handle than, say, $5 in dimes. And just imagine buying something that costs $100 and paying for it with 10,000 cents. So the values of the money we use every day are the values fixed by the government. The paper bills and even the coins are not in themselves actually worth the amounts they represent. Their face values, however, are guaranteed not only by huge reserves of gold and silver, but by the stability of the government which fixed those values. As long as people remain confident that our government is strong and secure, they will continue freely to accept and spend its money without questioning the value.
Interesting last part of that little clip there. Hey, welcome into the show, folks. This is a Swift Kick in the afternoon on the Truth Radio Network. Sitting in, as always, I've got my tag team partner, my co-host, our co-host, Joseph. How you doing, brother? Missed you last week.
Good afternoon. I'm doing pretty good. Great intro. It's funny how, you know, the government says, our money's good, but other people's money, that's not so good.
That is from a 1947 educational film from the government itself. And that was made from 1947. An educational film role there. What's interesting is how they talk about how folks will accept that money, you know, and the value of that money as long as there's confidence in the government. Well, there's not much confidence in the government. But, you know, they were talking, I'm sure that when this film was made, they didn't imagine us going off of the gold standard some 24 years later. I believe it was 71, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Metals were tied to our money, so there was a value in our metals. But so, yeah, very interesting clip there, Joe. What would people do if they couldn't even spend their dollars or their coins? You know, what if they didn't exist? Man, I was just thinking about that too. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, man. I'm running my mouth. Oh, in case you folks didn't get the joke, when I said to Joe, we missed you last week, I wasn't here either. So we missed all of you last week. We didn't do a show last week. So sorry about that if you were counting on us. being here. But anyway, Joe, go ahead, bro.
All paper money has failed. At some point in time, the bank either does what they're doing to us today and creating money through the loaning of money, and this process has gone on over and over again to where the only way to actually create money is to create debt of purchasing a piece of real estate. Well, our value has no real value or real purchasing power anymore compared to what it was back to when we fell off the gold standard.
Well, you know, Joe, and folks, you know, I'll bring up stuff like that, and you bring up stuff like that to a lot of people who just don't understand how the system works. And you say, oh, you know, back in, 19, pick a year, a car cost X amount of dollars. You know, we'll just say 1968, you can get a car for maybe $3,000, $4,000. Yeah, a good car. A new car, yeah. And they'll say, oh, but that was back then, you know, inflation. But what they don't understand is how comes about. It's not because the value of products has changed. It's not because the value of the metal that's used in the car has gone up. The value of your dollar has gone down. So it takes more of those toilet paper notes, Federal Reserve notes, to buy something. So that's why it seems like it's costing more. The value of the car has remained the same, just like gold. Gold has remained the same. Silver has remained the same. The value of it has remained the same. The only thing that's changed is what we consider currency to buy it for, and it's being devalued on a steady pace. And inflation is created through the Fed. That was the point I was trying to get at. You know, they have these inflation targets. They want to create inflation.
Inflation means things cost more, loans get made, companies produce. It increases the intrinsic value of the dollar itself, but it also is a stimulus to the economy, where there are more dollars out there that are used in your small community. It'll come down to, your paper dollars versus your gold, your silver. Gold, your silver are going to have bartering power. Your paper money is going to be good for TP and for starting fires. Your camping gear is going to be worth its weight in gold. And we'll have a backup plan. If when they throw out the dollar, and a lot of countries are getting off the petra, I heard China and Russia just decided that they were going to trade in each other's currency, and that cuts OPEC and the IMF out of their big loop, so they're not making money in this changing funds to dollars game.
Well, yeah, a lot of folks have countries, by folks, I mean countries, have decided to abandon the dollar in favor of their each other's respective national currencies for trade between those two countries. And what happens is the supply of dollars in circulation doesn't decrease. It increases and increases and increases. And when that happens, it's like watering down Kool-Aid. You know, first you have a nice sweet drink, but after you keep adding more water to it, it's colored water that tastes sour or very bland. And there's really nothing to it. That's what happens when you water down the dollar money supply like that.
You mean that's what's happening when they say that the FBI's stock isn't growing, but the buildings are still there? kind of an inside joke.
Yeah.
FBI and CIA for years have been using fake fiat dollars to substantiate their trade, and they want to take away the $100 bill. Yeah, right. Like, that's going to happen. How are your buddies going to change pay for their services for each other? They're not going to do that. Yeah, we've tied way too much time up in this this fiat currency that life expectancy was only about 70 years, and we pushed way beyond that. But Jay sent a good article from survivalblog.com.
One of our favorite sites here. We love that site here.
We love that site. Lots of intelligence. It is an awesome tool to use as a prepper. You find all kinds of good information. And
you know what I like best about the site, though, Joe, is the common sense approach, the don't panic approach.
Yeah. It's well-rounded and educational. And what I love about it is it's the populace that's adding to it.
Yes.
Mr. Rawls runs a write-in contest every week, 15,000 words or less. And it's an awesome contest. I think more Americans should get involved in it, and it's educated preppers that have, you know, took their time and, you know, made mistakes here and there, and they're more than willing to sit down and let you know what worked for them and what didn't work for them. So it's a life-saving tool. You're saving hours, if not weeks of, you know, from learning from their mistakes.
Everything is archived on the site. You know, it goes back to the site's inception. But you said it was preppers. It's not just preppers that write these articles and contribute. There are folks or economists that contribute, homesteaders. It's a well-rounded site, like you said. It's a vast treasure trove of information. I mean, it really is. I think it's in my opinion, one of the best and easiest sites to get around.
Oh, most definitely. And they got a nice little glossary at the side of the page. Index table contents. It shows you all the articles in different related categories. And, pick one. And, you know, their first aid, and then they send you, they got a big list of links there, and some of them are good because, when people put them up, sometimes that sale will run its cycle, and they'll, you know, just leave it up there, but they'll let you know, or it's information. And what I love about it is that you can copy and paste and download all these articles, you know, for hard copy or for future use on your USB finger drive or whatever. But you can go back 5 years in the archives and without any problems. And you know, that's just, on a weekly basis, that's just tons of information, period. And if a smart person were to read the blog daily, they would, in a month, I'm sure that they could glean enough relative information to help and assist them in their future quest for survival. Hint, hint.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. I'd like to, you know, and J.W. Rawls, he writes some good books, too. He's got he's an intelligent guy. He puts out a lot of good information, Joe. This article kind of speaks to what that clip was talking about as far as money. And this is something that you and I have spoken about many times in the past on this show and other shows that I've done, about the, and even the Army Girl and I, on Tuesdays, we talked about the cashless society. And that's kind of what's around the bend here. There's already been nations that have gone almost entirely digital as far as currency goes. You know, and for a lot of folks, they'll say, you know, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? On the surface, the convenience of it is great. The convenience of it, it cannot be matched. And that's the big selling point for cashless society, is how easy everything is. And a lot of people say it can never happen. But this article points out a lot of technologies that we've gradually accepted that are laying the foundation for a digital currency. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, most definitely. All your credit cards and debit cards are going to be chipped here. By 2017, they said that all major credit card companies and stuff will have your cards will be chipped. If yours isn't yet, you will be getting one. Don't worry, it's coming. Pay off your bills. Get out of debt, please.
Exactly.
A former student was reminded at 3 o'clock in the morning last month that he had a $1,500 outstanding student loan, and
Joe, hey man, I hate
that. Decided they were going to come in and let him know that he still had this debt to pay to society through student loan.
Joe, that's not the whole story, brother. I hate to break it to you, but I did some research on this guy. That's not the whole story.
Okay.
I mean, the marshals did show up, yes. But it wasn't because he didn't pay the $1,500. Technically, he owes the $1,500. What it was for ignoring three separate court orders to appear after he had made an arrangement to pay the $1,500. And when he failed to make the arrangement, he was ordered to appear in court, to work out another plan, and he failed to appear three times. That's why the marshals were sent. So technically, yeah, he owed the $1,500, but that's not why the marshals were sent. He was sent for contempt of court for failing to appear for court. But he was given opportunities, bro. You know, he was given opportunities. But I'm not saying that to vindicate the marshal service being used for such a frivolous purpose. I think that's ridiculous and a waste of resources. But I don't want to spread false information, because a lot of folks think that, you know, it was just because of $1,500. Well, it actually wasn't, you know, because when I saw it, I was outraged. I was like, it sounds like a damn debtor's prison set up to me. You know, so I researched and I was like, okay, like, all right, this guy, although it's wrong that they use the marshal services, there's a little bit more to the story than just the, you know, he owed $1,500. He was given opportunities, you know, like I said, three separate times after he had agreed to make a payment arrangement and failed to make any payment on it, you know, after like 27 years of you know, the government trying to come after the debt. So, like I said, there's a little bit more to the story, and I don't, you know, want to spread false information. So, you know, I'm not doing it to contradict Joe.
Because there's
a lot of people. There's a lot of people that, you know, I think even a couple of mainstream sites had just, you know, said it was the $1,500, you know, and that's it, you know, without going into further details. So I just wanted to put that out there, because I do like to try to be as correct as possible on everything, you know.
Exactly, but the point I was getting to was that the individual, you know, dragging this debt around, even though he ignored his duty in showing up to court and contempt of court, that's the camel's nose under the edge of the tent.
Absolutely.
Is what I was trying to get to, but yes, there's always more to the story than just what the mainstream media gives you. What I'm trying to get to is pay the bill off. Don't have that debt hanging over your head. The last thing that you're going to want
Exactly.
Is somebody coming up and saying that you owe X amount of funds after the collapse of the dollar, and they're going to say, oh, well, you own this house. Thank you very much. Debt paid. Get the hell out of my new house.
Right, great point. You know, if the debt was paid, you know, the problem would have been taken care of. You know, live within your means. Now, of course, going to college nowadays, most folks will have to take out a loan. I did. You know, to go to school, it's almost impossible. unless you go to community college, which is great. There's nothing wrong with community college. You get your degree and you're in and out 2 years, boom. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it still costs money. And you're probably still going to have to.
You don't get the party experience.
Right.
Your parents are actually happy to see you when you come home for the weekend, you know.
you can even live at home still probably because you're going to be close to home. Your community college is going to be close to home, you know. But get out of debt. Joe, you're absolutely right. Get out of debt. You know, live within your means. Before, you know, we shouldn't even have to say get out of debt. We should say live within your means, and then you wouldn't have any debt. And, of course, I understand buying a house, if you want to do that, is a good investment if you get a good deal on it. And the value isn't overinflated and you get a good mortgage rate, then fine, go for it. Same thing with a vehicle. You know, personally, I'd rather save up the money and pay cash for a car. And I don't want a brand new car. I don't want something that's, you know, if I'm in the market for a car, I don't want something that's the latest and greatest thing. Because first of all, they depreciate the minute you drive them off the lot considerably. And second of all, I don't need all the bells and whistles. I want something with four wheels and a motor, seats, brakes, and tires that's going to get me where I want to go. Period. That's it. But yeah, get out of debt.
I agree. And yeah, the thing is, there's no reason to be in debt. One of the things my father taught me is, you know, it's better to, you know, it's better for you in your mental well-being to know that, you know, what's in front of you is all yours instead of you owe this, you owe that on that. As far as credit-wise, and one of the points that I've made is, I've got worse than bad credit because I've got no digital credit. And people, well, that's bad. I said, well, it would be bad if I wanted to, you know, go and make a new car purchase or get a loan for a car or get a house, you know, through a bank. They'd say that, you know, well, you have no credit. And I say, well, yeah, because I pay cash. But everything in front of me, everything that I see, and I'm closing one eye so I'm not looking down the street at my neighbor's house, is mine.
Right.
And it's mine to give away. It's mine to drag out in the yard, middle of my yard and light on fire if I wish. And nobody is out anything except for the guy who wasted his time calling the fire department to let him know that I'm burning a chest of drawers in the middle of my front yard.
Are you guys allowed to burn out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not a problem. As long as you're...
Yeah, because I know in my area, yeah, you can't burn. They just now started allowing the fire pit, the outside little fire pit, so...
Well, no, and in some areas it's a good thing, and in some areas it's an overstepping of... you know, their authority.
Right. Well, here I live in the city, so it's a common sense ordinance. You know, you don't want somebody having a bonfire in your yard, which can catch a tree on fire, which can catch your garage on fire, which can catch your house on fire, and then so on down the block. You know,
It's a common courtesy thing. You know, you don't start firing 30 mile an hour winds, and you know, but yeah, no, and that's a good thing. So your neighbor's not creating a copper smelter in his backyard because he figures he's got a bare spot of ground out there that he can turn into a fire pit, you know. You don't want to toxify your neighbors out. But there are smart laws and there are obnoxious laws, and the way I love it being put, and I think it's Thomas Jefferson said, good men will follow just laws. But don't quote me on that.
I won't. But okay, let's get back to this article. Let's get back to this article real quick. I want to run down this list of things really quick that have brought us to the edge of a digital currency. Credit cards, debit cards, you already mentioned, postal meters, credit and debit card enabled payphones, where you can swipe your debits. You know, with just a swipe, you can make a phone call at the airport, train station, bus station, and other places, the malls. Credit and debit card enabled vending machines. Credit and debit card enabled pay before you exit parking garage kiosks, grocery and warehouse store member cards, automated bank account and wage garnishment by the IRS, automated child support and alimony payments, transnational debit cards with the Maestro logo, such as EC and switch cards or EBT cards, widespread use of cellular smartphones. You know, you can use your smartphone now to pay for stuff. Widespread use of the tablets and laptop computers, direct deposit of payroll checks and social security payments, e-stamp, electronic postage stamp equivalents, electronic banking, self-checkout terminals at stores, point of purchase, credit and debit card terminals, credit and debit card enabled gas pumps, the new chipped smart credit cards, which Joseph spoke of, and the new Square and the PayPal Here credit and debit card readers. You can buy a device now for practically nothing that you plug into your smartphone. And if you're a merchant, or if you set up at a flea market, or even if you have a yard sale, with the convenience of just a swipe, you can take credit and debit cards on your own using one of their apps. You know, so we're almost at the point now where digital currency is the next logical step, bro.
Well, look to the innovations of society and look to the Americans to find a way to make it disgusting. Prostitutes have been using these apps for a long time, people. Vegas is.
I didn't know about that, Joe. How do you know? No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I am not implying that Joseph, because I know for a fact Joe doesn't even have a credit card or a debit card.
Well, Joe doesn't have a girlfriend either, but no. Prostitutes have been using these phone apps in Vegas for a while, and it's it's a sign of our times, you know, the instant gratification society. One of the things that this list did not also involve is your e-wallet, your Google app e-wallet,
right,
which is the tool that connects your laptop to your PayPal account or whatever.
There's Apple Pay, there's Google Pay, where you can pay with your smartphone now. I mean, it's just... And you know what? I mean, I admit I am not completely immune. There are some things that I use. I don't have a swipe card reader myself or anything, but I do use a debit card to pay for a couple of things. So I there is, for me, I do have a digital banking presence or footprint, I guess you could say, because if there are certain things, like for instance, paying the bills here, Truth Radio Network, everything has to be done by credit or debit card. You know, no signing in checks or money orders, you know, things like that. So, yeah, there's certain things that I'm guilty of, too. But, Joe, I don't like this whole idea of cashless society. Who's to say, you know, a computer glitch doesn't wipe out everything you have? Or, I mean, that's just an innocent little cause. Who's to say that it's not used as a political tool, the ability to wipe out your savings ability to restrict your access to that money based on political reasons? And folks will say, oh, it'll never happen. Yeah, you used to say the FBI can never be used like that. I mean, the IRS can never be used like that. But it was. Ask some conservative groups and some libertarian groups how the IRS audited them for their political views. So don't give me the BS there. Oh, it'll never happen, because it already has. Sorry, Joe, I went on a bit of a rant there.
No, and it's a good point. And that's everything from the IRS to the EPA with their milk raids, which has got to be the stupidest thing that I could, you know. Well, I think the way you can determine how a society is by the way they treat their young and their old and their animals.
Right.
We are failing, people. We are failing. We are failing on a large scale. I don't mean to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, you know, the guy at the party that says, you're all going to die, but hey, guess what? You're all going to die. Someday, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but where do you put your faith in? Is it in this economy? Is it in this government?
Right.
Those are idols,
you know,
people.
Yeah,
those are,
you know,
idols.
A lot of people, yeah, you know, folks who are... deny that they would say it would be impossible to implement this on a widespread scale, this digital currency. You know, it would be hard for the government to do it. I mean, they can't even run the post office, right? Well, take this into account, doubters. EBT card was introduced to replace food stamps. That's a government-issued card. And here in Michigan, it not only carries a food benefit balance if you get food stamps, but if you get cash assistance as well, it goes on that card. So the infrastructure is already in place from the federal government, trickled down to the state government, to the agencies that give out these benefits. So the infrastructure is already there for cashless. They would just have to expand it.
Exactly. And... people need to realize the only thing that George Orwell got wrong was the year. 1984 was supposed to be a book of fiction, but it's being used as a manual. Get out of debt, people. Put yourself something aside for you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about it all the time. Planning ahead. You know, you've got to plan ahead. You've got to consider possibilities.
Exactly.
And, you know, consider all possibilities, and then you've got to rate the probability of them happening. Okay.
Exactly. Now,
you have a low priority, high, medium priority, high priority. Your first thing, first and foremost, food, water, shelter, end of discussion, then firearms, a close second. You're going to have some way to protect. You've got what you got, but the reason why I always say food, water, shelter first is what good's a gun if you got nothing to protect?
Well, your life, and that's the way I would put it.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I agree with that, but I'm saying, you know, it's, to me, it's more important to make sure you've got food, water, and shelter. You can always get a knife, a club, a bat, a brick,
yeah.
A piece of glass.
Oh, yeah.
You can make a shiv or something for protection, you know.
Oh, yeah. You want to see what's going to happen in the United States? Look at Venezuela today, people. The slow shutdown of the importing of other items that are consumables, like your laundry soap, your dish soap, and, you know, everything that's not made in country. You know, those items are all very hard to find. That's why people are standing in line for 8 hours, 10 hours a day.
Right.
And it's the beta test of what society is going to do here in the United States. Hoarding has been made illegal. They have a special presidential task force by the Attorney General's office that is going out and hunting down hoarders, people who looked ahead and saw the writing on the wall are now the bad guys.
Joe, I gotta wonder about those folks that they're going after, though. What if, I mean, have a lot of these folks, have they advertised that they you know, their gear and whatnot? Because a lot of people they get cocky. They probably like to puff up their chest about how ready they are and what they got and this and that. Because if that's the case, then, you know, you keep your mouth shut. You know, you gotta always be careful about who you're running your mouth to about your preps and your preparedness and whatnot. I mean, give a general, if a blizzard hits, I'll be okay for a week. I won't have to get to the store. That kind of generality would be okay. But to go any deeper than that, man, you're asking for trouble, because the more people know about what you got and what your plans are and what you're doing, the more people know about what you got, what your plans are, and what you're doing. Keep your mouth shut about certain things. I'm not one of these people that get online and come on the air, especially, and talk about I own this firearm or that firearm or gadget or that gadget. First of all, it's really kind of nobody's business, because I'm a private person like that. I'm not one of these attention whores, I guess you can call them. Be smart about your preps, Do you lose it, Joe?
I had a coughing fit. Prepare for, if you live in a flood zone, prepare accordingly. But have some kind of a backup plan, if you live near railroad tracks, having the local sheriff come out and tell you that you got to go someplace because of a spill is not something that's that far out there on the edge, That's something, and if you knew how much hazmat rolled on those trains, that's a good thing. You may not want your family exposed to that cloud of chlorine gas that's floating towards your community. Have a bug out plan, have a bug out bag, have a secondary location where you and your family can, go to. But first of all, have a rendezvous area locally where, if I'm not at home, I'm going to be en route to here, so that we can catch up and communicate. And, the first basic steps of getting organized and doing anything on a group level is your communications. So plan and prep accordingly. Have a backup plan, people. I personally don't prepare for the zombie apocalypse, but I do prepare for nuts that have been on Ritalin for 5 and 6 years. They're going to be coming up and down the street looking for anything and everything that they can get their mitty grips on.
Right. Joe, I wanted to ask you a question. I wanted to ask you a question real quick. You had mentioned folks waiting 8 hours, for stuff in line. Can you imagine what the response here would be if folks had to wait 8 hours? I mean, like you said, we live in a fast food society, on-demand society, where everybody wants everything right now to snap a finger. What if they have to wait 8 hours in line for a loaf of bread? Can you imagine that?
I just think of it as Black Friday on LSD, where instead of everybody happy and cheery that it's Christmas time and they're saving $3 and $4 on a piece of plastic garbage, now they're waiting to knock your ass out and push you out of line so they don't have to wait as long to get their MRE and 2 bottles of water for the day.
Right. Right. And being this close to Flint, I've got to say I'm very, very pleased that we haven't had any problems with folks getting bottled water or filters. There have been no riots, no pushing, no shoving. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of volunteers on the ground delivering daily to homes to make sure that people have water outside of the municipal services that are delivering firemen and National Guard and police. Yeah, as far as I know, there is not problems with people having getting bottled water or filters. Now, that can't go on forever. That's a different topic for a different day. But could you imagine, what would happen if folks had to, wait for basic staples of life in line? Could you imagine how, or like you said, could you imagine how those people would be waiting in that line to get those basic staples and not being able to take their Ritalin or their other mind-altering drugs to keep them goober-eyed and calm. Can you imagine what it would be like? I mean, there's your zombie apocalypse, Joe. All the pill freaks without their fix.
You know what?
I mean, I do understand that there are some legitimate uses for many of these medications. I'm not completely anti-pharmaceutical. Because there's just been too many things that pharmaceuticals have done for people. Aspirin, for instance, penicillin for another. There's just too many things. But I'm not one of these pill poppers that thinks a pill is going to satisfy every little issue and problem I have. If you have heartburn, stop eating garbage or lose weight or eat the proper foods. You know, if you're overweight and you're pre-diabetic, don't go on a pill. Eat right and exercise. You know, there's common sense and natural solutions to a lot of the health problems, but you're not being told that because there's no money in it for big pharma. Now, back on the topic, Joe. Sorry, but
Excellent point. And people need to realize that modern-day pharmaceuticals, well, number one, doctors in Western society treat the symptoms. So you're going to tell them what's wrong with you, and he's going to be thinking of this list of stuff that he can give you to stop this and stop that, instead of telling you to go home and have some tomato soup and get over your cold. He's going to turn around and make some money off of you through his writing of prescriptions. Modern pharmacology has done some great, outstanding things. Some of the painkillers that I've received did a really good job. But that, I mean, they're designed for short-term use. They're designed to use the thing or use the stuff a week, 2 weeks, and then, you know, beyond that, you should be able to cope with whatever level of pain you're at or discomfort level. And get this, everybody. Everybody suffers from mild discomfort disorder.
Yes.
Get over it. It's called life.
Exactly. We're not all going to feel like we're 18 forever, okay? Even at 18, I had aches and pains. But I got to admit, nothing like I feel now.
Oh, yeah. And, no, we all grow old. And, I mean, I'm very, very thankful that, you know, the Lord's taken away a lot of my back pain. And, you know, and I look at it when I do push myself and I do feel pain, you know, well, Lord's keeping me humble, you know. The human body was not designed to be on pharmaceuticals all the time, every day. 4 out of 5 people are on some kind of a painkiller or an antipsychotic today. You haven't seen you until you've seen a mental ward, and they haven't got their fix of cookies and ice cream at 3 o'clock. like you're going to see coming to your front door. The over-prescribing of these over-the-counter zombie inducers is going to get really bad. Your average community, you've probably got 8 to 10 freakers and tweakers out of every 100 people. That's 8 to 10 backstabbers that are going to do everything and anything they can to find a fix. And if that means ratting you out to the guy down the street who wants your gear, they'll do it. Prep and plan accordingly, people. Please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And to get to that point about being in lines, strip it down to its basic element. You don't want to be in line, period. So
exactly.
How can you avoid? How can you avoid standing in line for 8 hours with the other brain dead zombies who doesn't have their goobifying medications? You prepare. You get stuff in your house. There's really no excuse. There's no excuse. You go shopping on a weekly basis. Why do you go shopping on a week? Hopefully, at least on a weekly basis. I hope you're not going shopping every day, because that means you have little to no food in your house. But yeah.
I just did an experiment this month, Jay. Last week I had to go to a VA appointment, so instead of doing my my monthly trip and planning for to go shopping early in the month, I just said, let's see how long we can hold off without having to go shopping. And I did cheat. I did have my brother pick me up a half gallon of milk. But other than that, I'm still sitting good. I'm still making my soups. I'm still, kids got plenty of dog food. I haven't been shopping this month.
That's awesome, bro. How many folks do you think can say that? Yeah, how many folks do you think can say that? I could say that, and I could probably go longer than a month, a few months, with meat and such, a few months, because I've got a nice big deep freeze. But my problem, like you said, you cheated. I would probably have to cheat too to get fresh produce.
Yeah, other than that, here it is. It's the 25th, and a half gallon of milk. That's not too bad.
Right.
So but in normal month.
And Joe, they even sell that.
$150 a month every month for groceries, plus.
Yeah, and they even sell that. They even sell that shelf stable milk now, where you can buy that's been ultra pasteurized. And I'm not saying it's the healthiest for you. See, me personally, I very minimal milk at all or dairy products. I'm not a big fan of cheese and not too much milk for me. But they sell this shelf stable milk for a couple quarts of it. I think it's like $1.50, And if you don't like that, you can buy the almond milk or the rice milk. I don't suggest soy milk. Soy milk will give you man boobs. If you don't know that, too much soy increases the gentleman's mammary glands, and you can't use that as an excuse if you're tubby and you've got them because you eat too much. Okay, I'm talking about skinny young men and men and boys who have enlarged breastises, and that's from the soy products. A lot of it's from soy. I mean, it's been. Oh, speaking of men's health, really quick, Joe. I don't know if you caught this the other day, and this is totally off topic, 100%. But I don't know if you caught this the other day or last week, but there was a study that come out quietly in the I believe it might have been the Lancet, but maybe not. But it was a well-respected medical journal anyway, and it discussed the damage that cell phones stored in men's pockets or on their belt are doing to their reproductive health. In other words, killing off their little soldiers. And it's something that alternative media has been talking about for 20 years, Joe, and mainstream media is just finally getting around to that.
Well, years ago, Ericsson, the cell phone company, went into this community, pulled out all the landlines, gave everybody 100% health, and cell phones. They were to use their cell phones. The study showed that there was an increase in brain tumor activity, cancers associated with electromagnetic fields, and those vary everything from cancer to the brain, the thyroid, throat cancers, and so forth. But also it showed a reducing in men's sterility. And I saw something on that even mild use of your cell phone up to your ear can, have an effect on your little swimmers. But today's instant gratification society, kids don't care anymore. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, if you're trying to decrease the population, Joe, what's the point of telling people that certain things are going to harm them and could possibly cause reproductive harm anyway? You know, what's the use of telling them? I mean, oh boy, this show's completely off the rails. Them
letting us know now that, you know, oh, by the way, this is going to kill you. See, it's part of their hex thing or spell thing where they got to tell you what they're going to do before they do it to you so they can, you know, get all their power or whatever from whatever ghoul or demons associated with their sect or their right or whatever garbage. People, if you don't have a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time to do it. We may not have all the time, you know, in the world, but nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. So if you haven't got your preps for your family, take care of them. I feel like I'm yelling to the choir and people are falling asleep in front of me, you know.
Exactly. Joe, that's why, you know, we don't want to waste too much time on folks who aren't listening. Simple as that. We want folks to understand that it's important to be prepared. But if you're not open to that possibility, then hey, move on about your business. Go watch your American Idol. It's the last season of American Idol, by the way.
I just couldn't have survived without that fact.
I know I just had to tell you. I know that you wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight if you wouldn't have known that the American Idol show is in its last season. I believe 15 or 16. I don't think you knew that either.
No, I didn't.
Hey, Joe, look at we're down to like 8 minutes in the show, less than 8 minutes, man. I can't believe it flew by so quickly. Man. And we were talking about the possibility of a cashless society, you know, and to sum that up really quick, I do believe it's a distinct possibility. And like I stated earlier, the infrastructure is there. And a lot of us, myself included, have converted some, if not all, of our transactions to cashless.
People need to realize also, pensions were reevaluated for their payout output. These companies are attached to the derivative market, and that's attached to the oil market. Truckers are going to get 50% of their pension. You're going to be looking at some very upset old Teamsters coming up here very shortly. Watch and prepare accordingly, people.
Yeah, Joe, that's not a new phenomenon, brother. When we went through the bankruptcy here in Detroit, a lot of municipal workers and others' pensions got cut. That's been a big discussion now. There's a big pension shortfall that they're trying to take care of. $1.5 trillion over the next 20 years, they're going to try to fill that gap. I just saw it yesterday, a story about that here. It's a big roulette wheel. It's a big roulette wheel. If you're paying into these pension funds, you're not getting the money that you were promised, you know. And especially in the case here, when cutbacks come, that's one of the first areas they go for. So don't depend on that. Don't depend on that alone. You've got to take some common sense precautions to hedge against such things.
Most definitely. All right, less than 4 minutes left, Joe's soapbox time. People, if you don't have a relationship with the good Lord Jesus Christ, please, now is the time. Put away some private time. Check your email. Get down and pray. Best prepping book on sale today and every day is the Holy Bible. Best-selling book for over 2,000 years, people. There's a reason. Find out. The message is inside. Please plan and prep accordingly for your friends, your family, your neighbors, your pets. my security staff is a big part of my my home environment, and they're going to bite me here in about 5 minutes if I don't let them in. But, you know, they're extra ears and eyes, so I don't have to be on my feet and awake 24/7. You know, pets are a valuable part, and not just the company that they give you and an unconditional love, but they also warn you when bad stuff's about to happen. Have a super day, an awesome week, and no man is an island. The only way we're going to survive this is as a community. So pick out your people for your rescue boat. Those are the people that you will accept into your home when stuff goes bad. Remember, it's not a crime to say no. It's a crime if you don't tell them before and they then try and tell them no. Have a good day. Thank you, Jay, for giving me a soapbox. And great chat this afternoon. It went by very quickly.
Yeah, it did, man. Thank you, Joe, as always, brother. Great to be doing this show with you. I enjoy it every single week. You folks listening, we missed last week. Joe had an appointment to attend to, and I had some other business to take care of. And the funny thing was, I had contacted Joe to let him know that I wouldn't be able to do the show, completely forgetting that the week before he had told me he wasn't going to be able to do the show. Kind of funny, a little insight on that one. I got a chuckle when I saw your email pointing that out to me, Joe. Anyway, folks, we'll be back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel here on the Truth Radio Network, Thursday, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. Even though the shows aren't scheduled yet, if you're looking for the schedule, it'll be made up within a day or so for the next couple of weeks. But don't forget about the sermon show this Sunday. Joe, I want to play this clip on the way out the door. It is a little funny clip, but it kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier as far as spending within your means. Thanks to you folks listening on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Vimeo, Blog Talk Radio, and our website, www.thetruthradionetwork.com. We'll see you next time. Take care and God bless.
Oh, I just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Oh, let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in Chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless, and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
This is the Truth Radio Network. It's the Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.